Hello, everybody. This is Damien on the Go, a podcast where I go around the city and talk. So, why Damien on the Go? Well, basically, I'm a guy who sends a lot of voice messages. So, my friends were telling me that I should start a podcast, but since I'm constantly busy and I'm constantly on the go, I was like, I don't have a time to sit at a quiet place and record a podcast. But then I got an idea. Well, why not? Why not go around the city and do whatever I'm doing, or around my house and so on. And while I'm doing that, while I'm walking, while I'm commuting, record a podcast, which would be quite unique. So, and that's how it began. Damien on the Go. So, today we are going to talk about fighting against the system. Why do people fight against the system? And what are the ways people fight against it? And what is, in my opinion, and also opinion of many people like-minded to me, what is the best way to fight against the system? So, I mean, what is the system? When I say the system, what I think that it is. So, the system is the state, the government. But it can also be the global system. So, for people who believe that basically majority of or all countries in the world are actually tied into one system or maybe two systems, so that could be a global system or global systems. So that's basically what I think when I say system. Now, why do people fight against it? Well, people of various political backgrounds fight against the system for various reasons. They want to bring a change. They want to put it down. They want to take over. They think that they are oppressed by the system and so on. And that's why people fight. Various motivations. Now, when it comes to fighting, there is the three most common ways is systemic struggle, anti-systemic struggle, and the parallel system. So systemic struggle it's the political struggle. It's people trying to find a political solution. So people who are fighting against the system through the system, those people are usually politicians, people who form political parties and so on, and try to make a change through Republican democratic system of their country, or maybe a communist system, or however their system works. They try to influence the local community. They try to become leaders of local communities in order to get to the high level of authorities and so on. And in this category also go protests, peaceful protests, certain shows and so on, strikes and so on. Basically, syndicates and so on. And so that's the systemic struggle. Then there is anti-systemic struggle, which is people fighting against the system. So they're not trying to make a change inside the system, through the system, but they're actually fighting against it. They want to destroy it so that they or people who they want to rule to become the new system. And that's usually the violent protests, the disobedience, the uprisings, revolutions, and so on. Then there is a parallel system. A parallel system is when people say, screw the system. I'm not going to fight through the system because I think that the system is rotten and there is no repair. And I'm not going to sacrifice my life and the lives of my people trying to fight against the system, because usually people who are in this category, they think that the system is too strong for them to fight, so that they wouldn't be able to make a change, that so that they would just get destroyed by the system. So instead of those two things, they say, we are going to build our own system from scratch. They say, we are not going to try to repair the old system. We are not going to try to destroy it and replace it with something else. No, we are going to build our own system. And so these parallel systems have been a thing through history, and there are also different kinds of the parallel systems. Some parallel systems even fought against the official systems and so on. Some were bigger, some were smaller, some were more successful, some were less successful. So for example, the Amish are a kind of most common example, like the first thing that come to your mind are Amish. The Jews, like they were in the system, but in the same time they developed their own system in their neighborhoods, and so even today Jews support other Jews and so on. And because of this, they became quite successful and have climbed the social ladder quite quickly all around the world. Then the Templars, the Freemasons, who have created their own system underground in secrecy. The early church was a parallel system because they were not fighting against the pagan Roman Empire. Instead, they were paying the taxes to the Roman Empire, but in the same time they were developing their own system, which was the church underground in the catacombs. And so they were raised in this underground parallel system, the underground church of the catacombs. And then when the pagan Rome collapsed, the church rose from the ashes and became a part of the new system, which was good. So those are some of the, like, also in South Africa, Orania, where white South Africans have gathered. They bought the land and so on in an unpopulated area of South Africa. And since they're not safe due to the high levels of crime in South Africa, they decided to move to this location together. They have invested, they have built, and now they have a town for themselves. A fully functioning, self-sustainable town with organic food, high level education for their young people and so on. So that's also a very good example of a parallel system. Also, during the Ottoman occupation of the Balkans, the rebels of the Balkans, the warriors who fought against the Ottoman regime, were a parallel system that fought against the official system, because in most of the cases they have moved their families, their clans, their tribes into the mountains, and from the mountains they were fighting against the Ottoman regime. So in the mountains they were self-sustainable and independent from the official system, while at the same time they were fighting against it. So as you can see, many through history have done various forms of this parallel system. So now let's dive into do a certain criticism of each of these three ways and see which of those is the best. So the systemic struggle. I personally think that the systemic struggle is pointless. Why? Because I think that nothing groundbreaking could be achieved through it. I think that people who believe in the systemic struggle have pink shades on their eyes, and they do not see the much more ugly reality. So let me elaborate. So I know many people, many great people who were into, and some of them are still into, the systemic struggle. Those who are not, those who stopped being into it have burnt out, and they are not trying to do anything. They have just gave up. So the problem is that in all countries, in some it's less of a problem, in some it's more of a problem, but in all countries it is a problem at some level. Sometimes it's more prevalent on lower levels of the government, sometimes it's on the high levels, sometimes it's in all levels, and so on. The problem is that people who work in the government, not just the government itself, but the whole system of authority of a country, the problem is that they are corrupted, weak, lazy, and so on. So the problem with systemic struggle is, it is that my brain is stuck. I don't feel quite good right now for some reason, but never mind. Let me finish the podcast, this episode. I talked so many times about this exact topic to so many people, and right now I'm kind of stuck. I don't know what's happening, but never mind. I'll try to focus. So I'll just skip into a very good illustration that I used to explain this. So basically, imagine that the whole world, that all states of our planet, you know, on Earth, they are all rooms in one house. There is a house, and there are rooms in this house, Some rooms are larger, some rooms are smaller, some rooms have more people inside, some rooms have less people, and so on. And so you have these rooms, and all these rooms are in a house, and each room has a boss, and there are few people who work for the boss, and the rest are just normal citizens. And there is also the owner of the house, and all of the bosses of every room work for him, and he has some other people who work for him who are not in these rooms but who are managing the house and so on. So people do not realize that states now do not exist. In 21st century, states do not exist. Why? Because in the definition of statehood, a state is a sovereign body that has no authority over it. So state is the highest authority, and it does not recognize any authority over it except God and similar, but I'm talking about earthly authorities. But what we have now is that states have NATO above them, they have European Union above them, the international community above them, or on the other side, they have BRICS above them, Russian Federation above them, and so on. But and even those who are not part of any of these organizations that have authority over the states, such as North Korea, even they are ruled by a secret elite. When it comes to China and North Korea, it's not as obvious as when it comes to other countries of the world. But yes, even they are ruled by this elite. So when we put it all together, there are no states, because there is either some kind of somebody that has the authority over a state, such as I mentioned, European Union, NATO, and so on, or there is a certain group of people that has authority over the president and the government of a certain state, or it's combined. So the states do not exist. Instead, I call states occupation zones, because they are nothing more than that, occupation zones. So, as I said, we have a house full of rooms, which are actually occupation zones. The house is the world, and the house has a boss and people who work for him, and each room has a boss and people who work for him. And so when it comes to the systemic struggle, in many of those rooms they have certain systems, certain illusions of freedom of choice. So in some rooms they have republics, they have democracy, one or the other kind, and so on. They have elections, but through this, usually what they get is either a change of one guy who works for the owner of the house to the other guy who works for the owner of the house, or one guy who works for the owner of the house rules the room for several years and even decades. And so people have an illusion of choice, of freedom. And those who want to change the situation in their room, some of them try to do this through the system. Some of them become candidates on the election for the next boss of the room. But if they say anything that is not in line with the ideology, with the ideas of the owner of the house and of the boss of and of the current boss of the room, these guys have no chance. They're going to lose the election. And if they gain popularity from other people in the room, then maybe some scandal is going to show up and their popularity is going to be destroyed by the owner of the house, by the owner of the room, the boss of the room. Or maybe some miracle happens and they win the elections. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to get killed, or they're going to get threatened, because owner of the house will send his people who will come to the new boss of a certain room, who is actually a good guy. They're going to come to him and say, "We have kidnapped your children. So if you don't do what we tell you to do, they are going to die." Or maybe they say, "We are going to burn this whole room. We told the people inside, if you do not obey us." And what they do then, they obey, because they have no choice. Or they retreat, and the old boss of the room, or somebody who works for the owner of the house, become a new boss. And nothing has changed. And even if the good guy becomes the boss of a room, and he wants to change certain things in his room, the problem is that those who are on the ranks below him, they're lazy. They don't want changes. They like how the old regime worked, because in the old regime they didn't have to do anything. They were satisfied. But now this new boss, he wants to change things. He wants the institutions and everything to start working properly and so on. And they just don't want to. And what's going to happen? They are going to slow the boss of the room. They're going to slow him down. So my friend have talked with the mayor of a certain town in Serbia. And so they had a meeting, and my friend told him, "Hey, I have these ideas for your town. You could do this, you could do this, you could do this." And the mayor said, "Those all are great ideas. But the problem is that if we want these ideas to be in action, I need to send those ideas to the assembly of my town, and they need to accept the idea. And since this idea demands a lot of work of the institutions, so those people in the assembly, they are not going to accept it, because this idea demands more work for them, and they don't want to work." And even if they accept it, then it goes into the realization process. It's given to various institutions that should realize this project. But since this project demands a lot of work, they're not going to do it. They're going to delay it. They're going to lie to the public about what's actually happening, or they will try to end the project and so on. So all of these things, all of these ideas are great, but I simply cannot put them in the realization, because the assembly is not going to accept these ideas, and even if they accept the institutions that should realize them and put them in action, they have lazy staff that simply doesn't want to do it. So even though I'm a town mayor, I actually cannot put your ideas in action. So that's why systemic struggle isn't fruitful. And there was maybe a certain period for such struggle, but it's long gone. Sometimes people try to change things with protests or with strikes and similar. But I like about the strikes, like, why do they even think that the people in the authorities even care about that they are on a strike with hunger? They don't give a damn about that. They do not care if they are hungry, if they haven't eaten for 5, 10, 15 days. They do not care. Why would they? So strikes are totally useless. And if the strike is blocking the roads and so on, the authorities do not care, because people who are in the government, they have helicopters, they have airplanes, they have all other ways to go from point A to point B. So people who organize strikes, especially when it comes to like blocking the roads and such, they're only causing harm to their own people, to the regular people. They're not causing any harm to the officials in the government. And like when these protests become very big, they can be easily shut down by the state. And we have witnessed that so many times. Or they give some promise and people go home and nothing changes. And then after a few months, people again go and protest and they give certain promise and people go home, but still nothing changes. Why do people even go on protests? Like we have decades of this shit going on, and people are still believing that they are going to actually change something with the protest. Yeah, maybe some minor things, the things that the government doesn't even care about. So they're like, all right, if they want that, let them have it. But when it comes to like some like huge changes, groundbreaking changes, that's never going to happen. And if you are too annoying, they are just going to shut you down. They're going to kill the leaders of the protests, or threaten them, or replace them with their guy. Like throughout history, we have so many examples of protest, starting with one idea and then ending with a totally different idea and a totally different leadership. And the people who were at the, who were making the body of the protest, they were not even aware of these changes. So it's so easy to spin informations, to manipulate with the people, that it's totally pointless to protest. So let's get to the anti-systemic struggle. So you have certain people in the room who don't like the boss of their room, and they want to kill him or lock him in prison, or they want to just put another party to be the boss of the room. Maybe the leader of this group who want to kill the current boss and so on. So they start with violent protests. Violent protests get shut down as easy as peaceful protests. Their leadership gets changed, the ideas get changed as easy as with peaceful protests, so they are not effective. When it comes to uprisings, revolutions and so on, even there we have so many examples of manipulation, of people having one idea and then ending up with a totally different idea. Let me give a practical example from history. So in 1945, at the beginning of World War II, when the war came to the Kingdom of Yugoslavia, the Kingdom of Yugoslavia fell quite quickly, even though prior to that it has signed the pact with the Axis, but the Freemasons in the government, they have expelled the Prince Paul Karađorđević from the state and have declared war to Germany, and so the Kingdom of Yugoslavia was brought to its knees very 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 quickly. And then a certain group called Ustaše in Croatia, they joined the Axis, but they were not genuine because they had a ton of Jews among their ranks and so on, and their leader was MI6 agent and so on. So their main purpose was to get closer to Hitler, to compromise what National Socialists are doing and so on, and also to achieve certain Jewish and Croatian goals in Yugoslavia. And they started with the slaughter of white people, of Serbian civilians who were not fighting against the Axis. Those were just simple people in the towns and in the countryside, living their own lives. They had no clue what is communism, what is National Socialism. Like, those are mainly illiterate people and so on, and they were killing them. They were killing children and the elderly and the women and raping and so on. And then in Bosnia started an uprising. So the Orthodox Christian population that was persecuted by the Ustaše, they gathered and started an uprising, and they fought against the Ustaše, and they fought against the communists. and they tried to get in contact with Germany and with Italy so that they could let them know that they are not fighting against the Axis, they are fighting against the Croatian Ustasha, because they are persecuting them and killing them. They are not fighting against the Axis, and in the same time they are fighting actually against the communists who are persecuting them on the other side. But what happened was, this uprising was very successful, and they have freed a certain area from the Ustasha, and then came the communists, and the communists have killed all leaders of this uprising and have declared themselves leaders of this uprising and have killed everybody who was against them taking over, and they have took credit for the success of this uprising, even though they were actually cooperating with Ustasha, because they had deals much before the war, and after the war Ustasha have joined the communists and the communist regime and so on. I'm making an example of an uprising starting with great ideas and being even successful, and then getting, you know, being taken over by the enemies. Also, like, often when it comes to like the French Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia and so on, like often they have a certain like the inspiration was usually social poverty and so on, and people were manipulated, and people started believing in the problems that they didn't even have, and so on, and basically anyone who had some more like less evil goals, so to say, when it comes to these revolutions, they were killed, and so on. Like, so we see that these revolutions, they are not effective. And then let's get to the parallel system. So as I said in the beginning, parallel system says code the system, and we are going to build our own system from scratch. People usually go into the countryside, far away from the cities, from the general population of a certain state, and there they start building their communities and their businesses that will provide enough money for themselves to invest into getting more and more independent, and they establish their own institutions of healthcare, culture, education, and so on. And so in my opinion, this is the only legitimate way of fighting against the system, and especially when it comes to a parallel system that is not actually clashing with the official system. Why? Because we have on our side only a minority of people. We have less than 1% of the white population that is on our side, of population of white people. So, and if we vet out people and try to get the best of the best, we get to 0.06% of white population, and in some cases even less. And the system, the official system, is too strong for a parallel system to clash with it. Since the official system has military, it has police, it has intelligence agencies, and so on. But the official system is a cancer patient. A patient with cancer in a terminal phase. A phase where there is no healing, no retreat, no getting back. The official system, the official global system, is on its deathbed. But still, it's quite powerful. It's quite influential and rich. And so even though it is dying, it still has the control over the police, military, intelligence agencies, and so on. And if a parallel system clashes with it, those people are going to get destroyed. And everything that they have done was in vain. Because clashing with the system is a suicide mission. So instead, in today's situation, what should the parallel system do? It should wait. The people of a parallel system now should wait. But as I said, it is on its deathbed. So we see the signs that the collapse of the official global system, or at least a semi-collapse, is very near. And we see those signs in the following things. Right now, with this whole situation with the coronavirus, we see more and more oppression. That's because they are afraid. That's because they are losing the control. The system is too heavy to sustain itself. And that's why we are right now in this great reset. Because they are trying to fix their system before it's too late. But it is already too late because it is too heavy. It's going to self-destruct. And we see so many holes in the system showing up. The system is a very corrupt house. A house that is beyond repair. And so instead of trying to get elected for a new boss of a certain room, even if you become a boss, you still live in a house that is beyond repair. And if you try to kill the boss of your room so that you could become a boss, you still live in a house with rotten walls. You cannot change anything. You still live in a house with rotten walls. But instead, what you should do, you should look for the holes in the walls because they are already rotten, and then dig through them and get out. And then outside on the fresh air, you build your own house with good material. Then go back, look for people like-minded to you. Find them, wed them, train them. Make new holes in the house. Get out. Return to pay taxes. Act as normal citizens. But in the same time, go into the countryside, live there, raise your families there, and so on. and be in the shadow, be underground like the early church was. Pretend to be just regular community, a village that has developed because you are a bunch of people who just loves nature and so on, like you are a hippie commune or something like that, and use that as a cover for much more serious things. Prepare, train, educate your people, educate your children, raise them in a healthy environment, grow food that you and your family are going to eat, healthy food, organic food. And in this environment, you can actually raise a healthy family, physically, spiritually, and mentally healthy, that is like-minded to you, that is not going to get corrupted by the education system and by the people who are the slaves of the system, the citizen slaves. And we are less than 1% of white population. Keep that in mind. There is no reason to promote yourself. I mean, it's totally fine to help propaganda in order to reach out to like-minded people, to network, to connect and so on, but there's no reason to organize large protests. There is no reason to attract the attention of the media and so on, because you can do this, because you can actually attract like-minded people through social media, through Telegram. Nowhere on the internet you are safe. But from the practice of sport, the organization of it, the thing is that if you are not a threat for the government, if you do not attract the attention of the wider public and of the intelligence agencies, you are pretty much safe. Of course, there is certain level of surveillance and so on, but as long as you keep the low profile, as long as you do not organize protests, as long as you do not do anything against the government of your occupation zone, you're going to be pretty much free and safe. For your government, you are going to be just a bunch of rednecks living in the countryside, and they do not care about you attracting 1% of the population of your country. That's why you are not a threat for them. And that's the way how we are going to survive this. You cannot change the minds of the majority of the masses. They are brainwashed. And unfortunately, as the time is passing, I think that more and more that the majority is brainwashed beyond repair. I know you love your people and so on, but it's too late. Do not bleed for those who do not care about you, who are not like-minded to you, who do not share the same values as you. Instead, build your own system. Gather your people, those who are like-minded to you, those who share the same values as you and care about them. Those people are your family now. Those people are your nation now. Not the brainwashed masses. it is something that is quite hard to understand because it's a bitter truth, but it is truth. So do not waste time on trying to change the system, on trying to change the minds of the masses. It is too late for that. And don't waste your health and time and energy and resources on trying to start a revolution or something like that, because you're just going to lead your people into death. Instead, network, find people, but do not accept any just a random guy who is interested. You need to establish a vetting process, and you need to educate your people. You need to train them, you need to prepare them, you need to join your capital and buy land in the countryside. And when you get to the countryside, work on becoming more and more independent. Find a bug out location if something doesn't work as you planned. And find another bug out location if that one fails. And try to learn how to live without comfort. So I'm not saying go and live like a caveman. I'm saying go and actually build a community, build houses, have solar panels and so on. But if that fails, you must have a bug out location. And that bug out location is not going to have the same level of comfort. And you must teach yourself to know how to live in a state where you have less comfort. And even if that bug out location falls, you are going to get to another bug out location which has even less amount of comfort. So you must be prepared to live like a caveman. Like, you start with the best intentions and with the best case scenario in your mind, but you also prepare for the worst case scenario, because you don't know what's going to happen with your occupation zone. Maybe a war starts and so on. And don't be the cannon meat for the politicians, for your occupation zone. Only people who are worth fighting for are people like me to you, who are of course of your race, of your kin, of your ethnic group and so on, of course. I'm not having a multicultural community is not something that can work. So it must be monocultural and monoracial in order for it to work. And not have just one community, but build a whole system. Build a whole network of these communities throughout your occupation zone and maybe even neighboring occupation zone. Make an alliance, join an alliance so that you do not cooperate just with the communities in your occupation zone, but with such communities and organizations outside of it. Because only with this network you can survive. Alone in the countryside, you're not going to survive. It's going to get too hard. one family in the countryside is not going to survive. It's going to get too hard. You're going to burn out. But one community that is well organized, it has some chances of survival. But a network of communities, well, that's now a system with its institutions, with its businesses and so on. And that kind of a system has a future. And especially if you're allied with such systems throughout the world. So that's what I'm saying. Be in the shadows, be underground. Don't go out in the public and attract the attention of the media. Don't organize protests. Like, and now I'm going to give you another example. So, like, about 10 years ago, like, vaccination here in Bosnia and in Serbia, it is so. All right. So I'm running out of time. So I will try to be quick. So the vaccination is mandatory in Bosnia, Croatia, Serbia, and so on. But due to the corruption, due to the system having those holes in it, it was quite normal to just go and find a corrupt doctor who is not a hardcore pro-vaxxer and just pay him some money, and he will just write down that your child got vaccinated, even though it wasn't. And everything was fine. But, like about 5 to 10 years ago, anti-vaxxer movement started. And they started organizing protests and so on. And what they have done with those protests, they have just made the lives worse for us who are against vaccination, because they have attracted the attention of the media, and so then the Jewish controlled doctors said, aha, so people now are against vaccination, we must stop this, and then started the persecution of us. Now in Serbia, if you do not vaccinate your child, you're going to pay an astronomical fine for that. And in some cases, the court even took away children for anti-vaxxer parents. So they have only worsened the situation with their stupid protests, with attracting the attention of the media. Until their stupid movement started, it was totally normal and totally easy to get the documents that your child got vaccinated. But now, the system is brainwashing doctors. And so now much more doctors are pro-vaxxers, and they have systems to avoid corruption and so on, only when it comes to vaccination. But if you need to get operated, you need to give money to your doctor, because they're not going to operate you well enough if you do not give them money. But when it comes to vaccination, they have now developed a system that prevents corruption in that case. So they have only worsened the situation for us in Bosnia and in Serbia and in Croatia and so on. That is why I am against these stupid, idiotic protests, against the formation of these public movements who go and make rallies and so on. And we see that now also in America and in Australia, these idiots are now just giving materials for the media to satanize white people, white nationalists. You know, Thomas Sowell, let's take him for an example. Cool guy, said some great stuff, which I agree with, said some idiotic stuff, which I do not agree with. And what did he do? He shared memes about like gassing the Jews and so on. With this, he just promoted the Holocaust. Hoax, this great Jewish lie. He just promoted it with these stupid memes. And then his guys got in uniforms and with all kinds of symbols, and they got through a neighborhood and they shouted Heil Hitler and so on on their way to a certain mountain where they had their meeting and exercises and so on. And so they were attracting attention, and the media covered that all up, you know, showed it on a certain show and so on. And then Thomas got in jail, and some of their people got persecuted by the police and by the media. They have caused only persecution and problems, and now Thomas is rotting in jail and so on. His organization is it's falling apart on all fronts. What did he achieve? Nothing. Why? Because he was attracting the media attention. But with the parallel system, with this plan that I'm presenting to you, which is not mine, which is something that we had throughout history, this can be so successful if you do it in the right way. Just don't get infiltrators getting into your communities. You need to have great vetting and so on. And when the system collapses, then comes the result of this. So we are expecting a semi-collapse or a full collapse of the official system. And that's where we have a chance to actually do something. Because then the system is not going to be as strong as it is now. It's not going to have the control over the police, military, and intelligence agencies as it has now. And the people are going to get shocked. The people are going to get traumatized by this. And that's the only moment where we can actually affect the masses. As I said, I'm afraid that the majority is brainwashed beyond repair. But still, there is a minor chunk, but still very numerous, much more numerous than we are now, that we can influence, because they are going to be in the state of shock and traumatized. And in this state, they will be able to accept the truth much, much easily. So we are going to use this moment. That's the moment when we can actually act and do certain things. But we can do them only if we already have the community, if we have raised our children to be better than we are and more capable than we are, to make them so that they can continue our struggle. Because if we do not raise the next generation, that nobody is going to continue our struggle and everything that we have done is in vain and it's going to collapse because we don't have anyone to continue our job. You know, I see that all the time. A lot of people like-minded to me are great and so on, have great ideas, but their families, their children are following the trends. They don't have the influence over their children and so on. They have feminist wives and so on. And so nobody is going to continue their job. Nobody is going to continue their fight when they die. That's why it's important to have this parallel system, because you cannot raise your children properly in the cities, in the system. So when you have the community and get ready and get trained, get prepared, then you can actually act and make a certain change. Maybe not on a global scale, maybe not on the scale of whole Europe, but maybe we can actually do this change in certain parts of Europe, in certain parts of North America, in certain parts of Australia and so on. And when we do this change in those parts, then we can use our alliance, our network, and bring all those people in those liberated parts of Europe, of North America, of Australia and so on. That's why I believe only in the concept of the parallel system. And that's why I'm so much against the systemic struggle and the anti-systemic struggle, because even when it comes to people who are ideologically more or less like-minded to me, when they try to make change through systemic or anti-systemic struggle, all I saw was only that their action have hurt us, our community. They have hurt. Not just that they haven't achieved anything, they have actually hurt us. They have actually gave more material for the media, for the Jews to persecute us. And brainwash the masses even more. So make a choice. Are you going to, you know, try to make a political change, waste your time, waste your life and money and everything else on political parties, on getting schooled by one and another and the third political party, or getting threatened, but if you do not retreat or if you do not obey the enemy, your family is going to get killed, or waste your lives in the anti-systemic struggle, you know, getting beaten up day by day by the police officers. For what? For nothing. You think that you are stronger, but you know, that, like, who are you lying to? Like, why are you lying to yourself that you think that this huge violent protest is going to take down the government, when the government has the military, has the tanks, has the, like, if they want, they're going to bomb your whole city just to save their own asses. Like, take off those stupid pink glasses from your eyes. See the reality. The reality is quite sad and gray, but it is reality. And it makes you see clearly. And when you see clearly, then you know what you should actually do. And if you build a parallel system, don't be a hothead and try to think, you know, too quickly that you have achieved a certain level that you can actually act before the time, and don't attract the attention. Don't fear the symbols that identify you as a certain group. Don't organize protests and rallies and so on, because all these things can only hurt you. All these things are just giving the material and giving the tools to the enemy to hurt us. And not just you, but all of us. Like what happened with the anti-vaxxers. The activities of a group of anti-vaxxers have hurt all anti-vaxxers and made the system persecute us. So don't be stupid, don't be an idiot. Think. And I think that's it for today. I hope that you have understand what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what else to do. How you know, in what way to try to explain these things. Like, even people who are ideologically somewhat like-minded to me, all of them do not understand this. They are also brainwashed in a certain way. So, which way? Western man.